Thank the Lord this morning for the privilege that we have to come and worship the Lord today. I was really inspired at the end of Brother Randy's prayer. He prayed that sin would be defeated. That's my prayer this morning. That's the desire of Christ. That's the purpose of Christ, that sin would be defeated in all of our lives. And the good news is it can be. By the blood of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for that this morning. The title of the message this morning is Called to Lead. And desire and interest in your prayers as we look into the Word of God. I'd like to begin in the book of Ezekiel in the 22nd chapter. It's a very familiar passage that is probably used frequently at times like this. But the Lord gave me a special burden for the subject this morning. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." I was looking for a man. Now, I know sometimes that the word man is used in the scripture, and it's really used for whichever gender. But in this case, it seems that he really was looking for a man. I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. There's a gap morally and socially and spiritually. There's a gap in our world today still. And the Lord, I believe, is still looking for men who will be willing to step up and bridge the gap that exists. It is God's desire that all would be saved and that all of us would live a life of holiness. But there is a special call and responsibility that God gave to men to be leaders. We are called to lead. And when men do not step up and fill their place as leaders, there are some times that the sisters have to try to fill in the gap. And it is not taking away from the blessing and from the responsibility and the blessing that the sisters are. But there is still a special place of leadership that God has called men to. And in this place, God was looking for a man. I'm looking for someone that I can trust. I'm looking for someone who will be faithful. I'm looking for someone that I can count on to stand in the gap. To stand in the gap spiritually. You know, we live in a society where sin is so prevalent around us. We don't have to look very far, do we? Do you know that men, the Lord is calling us as men to lead this morning? And he's saying, is there anybody that will step up and fill in the gap that others can look at your life as a man and say, that man is living a spiritual life. I can follow his example. As I related before, my grandfather told his sons, he said, sons, if you see me do something, it's okay for you to do it. But if you don't see me do it, You be really careful about doing that thing. How many men in our world today can say that? Or there's a lot of men that'll do, I think it's the Berenstain Bears, isn't it? It's kind of the do as I say, not as I do mentality. Do you know the Lord wants us to stand up and answer the call to be leaders? Spiritually, morally, and even in society. Will you be that man this morning? Will you be that man in the home is where it starts? Will you be that man that stands in the gap? Will you answer the call to spiritual leadership in your home? Moral leadership in your home? To stand and be that man in the home and in the congregation? Do you know that all members of the body are very important? And when one member does not fill their place in the body, we all suffer. But do you know that even in the church, there is still a special call to the men for leadership? Who will answer that call? But if we're not going to be men at home, we can't be men in the congregation. And we're not going to be able to stand in the gap in the congregation or in society if we're not at home. See, this starts in the home to answer that call. There's a passage of scripture, and what we're going to touch on this morning, there could be a series that went on for many months. We're not going to do that. It's going to be a concise message. Call to leadership. I'm going to address, by the help of the Lord, some of the characteristics and qualities of leadership and as they relate to us as men spiritually. But there is another passage, and there's a lot that could be said about it. But in 1 Corinthians 11:3, the scripture says, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, many interpret this as referring to the man being the husband, which is the head of the wife. We have that with other scripture in the book of Ephesians 5:3. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, this is something that is not very popular to address in our world today. And I'm also finding that it's not as easy even in the church to address some of these issues. Lord, help us that we will stand in the Word of God regardless of the direction that society goes. The scripture here is not saying that when it talks about headship, it's not talking about domination. It's not talking about one being superior to the other, but he's talking about order and responsibility. So just like in any corporation or any company, you have a head of a company. It does not mean that they're smarter. It doesn't mean that they're more capable or that they're more able to do every job, but it means they have been placed in a position of leadership, and there is a rule, there is a governance that comes from that responsibility. God has given the responsibility to the men as husbands and fathers to fill a place of headship in the home, and I'm going to go a step further, in the church. There's a place that God has called men to lead. Headship, again, is not superiority, but it is about the role that God gave in His design. There is a role of leadership that God has given in the home, and that's spelled out scripturally. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. It doesn't. And now, if a man starts to think, well, I'm over my wife and she needs to do this and that and treats her as a servant, you have missed the mark. But it is a role of responsibility. It is a place that he provides leadership in the home. When a man does not provide leadership in the home, it is an unfortunate reality in our society that sometimes wives and mothers have had to step up and fill in that gap. Out of necessity. But the perfect plan and design of God was for men to fill that place of leadership in the home. This is scripture, is it not? So it's not always, people may sit there and you may sit there with a big question. Okay, what's he going to say next? Or where's this going to go? But this is what the Bible teaches. And I have found that this is what provides the happiest homes. Husband and wives are to walk together. I don't want my wife walking behind me. When she gets behind me, you know what I'll do? I'll wait for her to catch up. And if she gets ahead of me, you know what I'll do? Hey, honey, will you wait for me? I want her to walk beside me as a team, to work together. And we do, and I'm thankful to have a wife that will do that. But do you recognize if the sisters get ahead of the men, you need to slow down. And need to respect that my husband is called to lead. And I want to be there to recognize that place. But you know, there are things that good leaders do in recognizing and supporting those that are with them. I want to also say about the church this morning. And again, there is much more that could be said. But I feel a burden to at least mention in brief. That in the Old Testament and in the New, the Lord used women to lead in certain places. In the Old Testament, Deborah, who was a judge of Israel, at the wishes of the men, went out to battle with them in Israel. The men said, "We're not going to go unless you go with us." She was not pushing her way in, but it was at the request of the men. Now, that was Old Testament. In the New Testament, we read of Phoebe. And Phoebe was a deaconess, which meant she was in a place of some leadership position. One of the most important messages that was ever taken was the message of the resurrected Lord, and that came from a woman. So I don't want us to misunderstand the fact that women fill a very important role in the body of Christ and in society. But it is also by example that God has called men to a special place of leadership. We're not talking about being chauvinistic. We're not talking about looking at women as inferior, because we're not talking here about intellect or ability or capabilities. We're talking about God's design for leadership. And so then we find that even in the church, it was the exception rather than the norm that a woman was filling a place of primary leadership in the church. And we could just need to look at Christ's example himself. There were 12 apostles. And how many of those were men? 12. There were women that traveled with them. There were women that traveled in the group. There were women that traveled with Paul that were important in the ministry. The scripture says that your sons and your daughters would prophesy or preach. But the call to leadership and the primary call was to men to step up and fill in the gap and be there to allow the Lord to use them to set an example and for there to be order in the home and in the church. And that is getting, like I said, less and less popular and easily swallowed by people in society. And we find that even among many of God's people, that's difficult for some people to hear. But if it's difficult to hear, we have to ask ourselves, why is that? Because it doesn't make men superior, but it shows that God entrusted men with a unique responsibility of leadership in the home and in the church. So I want to address very briefly some of the characteristics of leadership. These are characteristics that if you go to a leadership seminar, you're going to find many of these listed, okay? If you go to a secular teaching, you're going to find there are characteristics of leadership. But I felt inspired to share some of those in the context of our spiritual experience and walk with God. Do you know that leadership starts with character? True leadership starts with something on the inside. So leadership is not just about charisma. It is not just about having a title. It starts, to the men specifically, with the kind of man that you are. So it is a fair question to say, what kind of man are you? What kind of man are you? So number one is integrity. Integrity is doing what is right and honest. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and the children are blessed after him." So what is integrity? Do you realize that this is one of the most important qualities of a godly leader, is integrity? C.S. Lewis said it this way, and many of you probably heard this quote. He said, "Integrity is doing the right thing when no one is looking." That's integrity. If we want to be godly men and godly leaders, we are called to live lives of integrity. That it's not just about how we act it when we come to church service. It's not just about what we do when everybody's around and say, "Oh, well, Brother Michael, what's he doing? I left my phone down at my bench. What's he doing? Oh, they're on vacation. They can get away with doing things because no one's going to ever know." Integrity is doing the right thing when no one is watching. But integrity is also doing the right thing when everybody is watching. When peer pressure to do something that is not right, integrity, a man of integrity is going to stand strong and do the right thing. Anybody want to be a leader this morning? Be a leader in your home, in the congregation. It takes integrity. This is what God has called all of us to this morning. Number two, and I combine two of these qualities together, they're so close, is humility and self-awareness. Humility and self-awareness. To be a good leader. And these things apply to women that are in leadership positions in different capacities. But again, I'm especially focused on the men this morning. But humility, aware, and self-awareness. Willing to acknowledge mistakes. You know, we live in a time, it seems like, people are so proud. They can't just say, you know what, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I still remember my brother, one of his math teachers in seventh grade, I believe it was. He made a simple math error. And some of the students said, oh, that's not right. And the teacher went on and on and on, trying to kind of add things and do things without just saying, yep, I made a mistake, thank you. As men in the home, as fathers and as husbands, if we're going to provide good leadership, we need to be willing to acknowledge when we make mistakes. We are not perfect, but we can shoot, we can aim for that and live for that. And part of that is that character inside that is willing to humble themselves and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Do you know this will change homes when men, we say, what does it mean for a man to be the husband, to be the head of the wife? You be the one to step up and provide leadership. You be the first one to say you're sorry. We're not talking about a man that's domineering and doesn't treat his wife right. People that espouse that are wrong. But men that will provide leadership will be the first one when, if any of you are married, maybe you've never had a disagreement with your wife. But things get a little bit tense. Anybody been there? Is everybody going to be, maybe I can get one amen? But maybe things a little bit tense. I mean, maybe more than a little. But you know, I mean, there's something there and the tension's thick. How are you going to handle that? Oh, God's calling the men to lead. Be the first one to recognize where I could have done something different. And without placing blame on someone else. So willing to acknowledge mistakes. And also someone that's willing to share credit. Do you know a good leader is not someone that's just trying to exalt themselves and get all the credit. But a good leader is one that's giving thanks and honor to those around about them. And self-awareness, it kind of goes with humility. Understanding one's own strengths and weaknesses. There's a passage of scripture in Romans 12:3 that says that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to think, but to think soberly. Well, when we begin to understand our strengths and weaknesses, do you know that's what real leadership does? And then you can recognize other people's strengths. Some leaders that are self-conscious and are trying to defend their position will not be willing to acknowledge that I need help. You're good at this. I need your help. You're better at this than I am. Would you take care of that? Would you help me out here? I don't know what to do. What do you have some advice for me? Do you know that does not minimize a position of a leader? It actually enhances it. Now, I know in every home there are different. I'll just give one little simple example. I don't know who takes care of the finances in your home. Some men do it, some women do it. It's really up to you. But do you realize that a man that's wanting to control everything, maybe his wife is better at doing the books than he is. But he doesn't want to give up control because I'm the head. No, true leadership is acknowledging the strengths of other people. And very similar to it, another characteristic of a good leader is accountability. Taking responsibility for decisions and outcomes. You know, that's fundamental to living for God this morning. All of us are going to give an account of ourselves to God. We're going to give an account of ourselves. But we live in a society, and I know this isn't popular either in our woke society, but please understand, Men are doing it. Women are doing it. People of different cultures are doing it. People of different races are doing it. People of various colors are doing it, of different languages. They're playing the blame game. It's because of you. It's because of them. It was because of how my parents treated me. You know what I'm finding is so prevalent in our society is children are looking for ways to blame their parents for difficulties they have in life. If you would have raised me different, if dad would have done that, or if mom wouldn't have done that, we have got to learn to take responsibility for ourselves. There may have been things in our background. There may have been things in our race. There may have been things in our culture. There may have been abuses in our history. But God has called us to step up to a place that I'm going to stop blaming others for my problems. And I'm going to say, Lord, I want to fill in the gap. And I want to be that man. And I'm going to take accountability. So if I'm not doing right and I'm not living right, I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm going to say, it starts with me. And I'm going to step up to the plate, Lord, by your grace. And I'm going to quit blaming everybody around me. You want to see successful marriages, folks? Successful marriages. Okay, men, let's be leaders. You say, well, if you knew how my wife was, I don't know how your wife is. I know how mine is. But do you know what I've also found? Men, be leaders. Step up. Take accountability for your home. Take accountability. You be the man God wants you to be. And do you realize that will have a rippling effect? It'll have a rippling effect. You know, it'll be so much easier for a wife to show honor and respect to her husband when her husband is seeking after these qualities of godly leadership. So be accountable. Own your choices. Own your choices. And so those are inner characteristics. So then we start, as we follow the Lord in leadership, we need to start living it out. When we have those inner characteristics, we begin to show in the way that we love our wives, our children, people, how we treat them, how we handle people. And so that brings us to another characteristic, and that is commitment. And commitment is very closely tied to faithfulness. But commitment is being dedicated to a cause. Staying true to a promise or responsibility. Whether in personal relationships, whether it's in work, whether it's in the congregation, being committed. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You realize leaders need to be steadfast. They need to be committed to the cause. So is it fair to ask, are you committed this morning? Are you committed to the cause? What about faithfulness? Committed to marriages. We live in a society that very few men are committed to their marriages. And if it doesn't work out, I'll go find me someone else. And if that doesn't work out, I'll just go on. It's the way our society is operating on jobs, in relationships. If something doesn't work out or if something isn't as easy as I thought, I'll just try something else. Folks, God is calling us to be committed. Commit yourself to your marriage. Be faithful. I thought it was a blessing when my father retired. He was, the staff was all there, and he told them, my mother was there, and he was giving my mother some kudos. And he told the staff, he said, I have never been with another woman. This is the woman that he had been with for however many years. And he said, do you realize that is what God is calling for all men? No matter what happens, no matter the difficulties, no matter maybe the valleys that we go through, I am committed to the cause of my marriage, and I'm going to remain faithful when temptation presents itself. And folks, it does in our world. When temptation presents itself, Lord, I'm going to be that man. Lord, I want to be that man that is committed and faithful to the cause of my home and to the church. Well, the scripture teaches men,
He said, for the husband in Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See, this is biblical now. The world, the religious world, has twisted its way out of these scriptures. And there are some in the church that are trying to do that as well. Let's not be part of that. Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything. Now, listen to what he told the husbands. This is what it means for headship. Husbands, love your wives how? As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to be committed to that kind of love this morning to my wife. That means that when maybe I have a different preference, if this is something that I'm not going to do something that I don't believe is good for the home, but if this is something that makes my wife happy, our love should be sacrificial. Our love should be giving of ourselves for our wives and for our families. We need to be committed to that, provide that kind of leadership, committed to. And this comes into the home, and it's so important and vital this morning that men will step up as husbands and fathers and be committed to teaching their children about the things of God. Do you realize that when men don't do that, there are wives and mothers, and Lord bless them for doing it, but they're trying to fill in the gap. It should be us, it should be the men that say, let's have family worship. Let's have family worship. I don't want my wife to have to bring me, haul me in kicking and screaming to take time to have family worship. The Lord has called us as men, if we're going to be leaders in the home, to call the children in. To have, in every night, we're going to have prayer together. We're going to talk about the Lord together. We're going to talk about the things that affect us in life. Take time daily to seek the Lord and study the Scripture. Dedicated to a cause, committed to that. And in the work of the church, do you realize that there is a great need today for committed men and women, but that's a different day, for committed men to step up and faithfully work in the work of God, to faithfully labor in the work of the kingdom of God, to give of themselves, not just someone that shows up every once in a while and when it's convenient, but someone that is dedicated, purposeful, with a desire and a steadfast commitment that the work of God would go forward. Quality of leadership. And when things don't seem to work out real well and there's a setback, a man that has leadership qualities, or a woman in that sense, but qualities of leadership, they have resilience. Do you know there's going to be setbacks in life? There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be some things that as husbands and fathers and on your job and in society, if you're not careful, you'll feel like throwing your hands up. It's a temptation probably that comes to everybody in these capacities sometimes. Says, I can't do it. And maybe you feel like just a big failure. But do you realize those are the times we want to be resilient? I don't want to give in and throw my hands up, but I want to keep fighting because there's a cause worth fighting for. Setting an example is another very important quality of leadership. The scripture teaches this for the old men. It said, speak the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. And then he spoke to the young men. He said, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. What kind of leader are we if we don't set an example? Setting an example in the home with our attitude, with our speech. You know, there's a real need for some godly spiritual leadership along these lines. And it starts with us in the home and then goes out from there. How do we talk to our family? What kind of words do we use? Do we have patience? Are we speaking in a kind way? This is what God has called us to. And if we miss the mark, you know what we do?
We go back to that humility characteristic. I'm sorry. I should have had more patience there. I'm going to work on that. Will you forgive me? And then you work to develop those characteristics and qualities of being a man of God. Courage. You know, that's another leadership quality. Courage. Meaning willingness to face difficulty, speaking the truth. You know, there's a time to make some tough decisions. There's times in the home and there's times in the church. There's times in society where decisions have to be made that are not popular. But what we find today is there's a lot of parents, men and women, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers that are caving in to the will of the children. Do you know that children were not called to rule the home? Parents were called to faithfully fulfill their place in the home. And that starts with the father. And that starts with the husband. To have courage. And I want to encourage you all, you men, have courage. Be strong. Stand in truth. And stand up for what is right in your home. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye stand fast, quit ye like what? Like men. Quit ye like men. In other words, have courage. Have courage and have strength. Another very important, and again, there could be much said, but we're going to just touch on it briefly. Another quality of a godly leader and any leader is good communication. Clear communication, open communication, expressing oneself. When a leader expresses himself, it should not be with domineering. It should not be in impatience, but it should be with grace. It should be with grace. And there's something else about communication. It's not just in the talking, it's in the listening. I want to encourage the men this morning, you're called to lead. Learn how to be a good listener. Listen to your wife. Listen to not, and here's a little marriage tip, all right? You men, if you want a little tip, I'm still working on it. I might get an amen from over here. But do you realize that in marriage, it's not, you men, it's not always what your wife says, okay? So you're going to have to listen beyond what she's saying. What is she really trying to communicate with her emotions and what she's feeling deep inside? Because as men, and again, I know these are generalizations, they're not always accurate, but that's the point of a generalization. But they, a lot of times they are. Do you know, as men, a lot of times, I'm especially wired this way, logically and mathematically minded, so I like my T's to be crossed. So if someone says this to me, I'll assume that's what exactly what they meant. They had a reason for saying it that way, and they had a reason for... But do you know what I've discovered? Anybody know what I've discovered? Sometimes in relationships, you can't approach it that way. You have to look beyond the words and listen for what are they really trying to communicate. See, we're called to lead. And leading is not always in the talking. It's in listening properly. You can file that one away. You may need it sooner than what some of these other things. Well, with our children, the scripture also says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The Lord wants our speech to be honorable, pure, godly, holy. And with our children, you know, we need to learn to deal with the issues with our children, but we also need to learn to listen. Doesn't mean we have to agree, but it means we need to listen and understand where they're coming from and then stand up as men and lead. In the church, it's the same way. I could ask, say, is it wrong for a woman to testify and pray and do those things? Is that wrong? I hope no one says, yeah, it's not. But do you know what happens when the men say, well, the women are praying and they're testifying and they're, pretty soon someone comes around and says, well, the women are just leading the church because the men are just all being quiet and letting the women do that. Do you know, that doesn't mean that women are getting out of their place all the time. It may just mean the men aren't filling their place. I've been to congregations, you don't hear a peep out of the men, and it's the women that seem to be the ones giving God praise and testifying and praying. It doesn't necessarily mean they're out of order, but I would say, men, you need to step up. Because there is a place and a function even in the body of Christ, that a man can fill in a different way than what a woman can fill. So the Lord wants all of us to fill our place in the body of Christ, but He does not want us as men to abdicate our role and function to anyone else.
I hope that that's clear this morning. There, like I said, we have many Bible studies on these subjects, but the Lord wants us to step up in our communication at home and in the body. And then, as we bring this to a close, give me a few more minutes. Leadership does not end with just doing the right thing. It's also about how we connect with people. It's how we connect in our relationships with our wives and children in the congregation. So a godly leader leads not only with his heart, but with his head as well. Do you know that's why one of the very important characteristics of leadership is vision? It's vision. It's having clear direction and having a purpose. And this is why Joshua said, as for me and my what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I can't force my wife to serve the Lord. I can't force my children to be saved. They're free moral agents. But as a father, and as a leader in the home, it is up to me to step up and provide leadership that my home is going to be a sanctuary. And it's going to be a haven. The things that we do in this home, we will serve the Lord. And that is our vision. Do you realize that without a vision, what happens to the people? They perish. I would that more fathers and husbands and men would get a vision this morning. It's not all about work. It's about our homes. That I have a vision of faithfulness, a vision of godliness, a vision that we will serve the Lord. We're going to work for God. Our purpose, where we fall short, together we're going to say, Lord, would you help us that we can be what you want us to be as a family. And that also applies in the church. Do we have a vision for the church? Lord started giving me a message and a burden to deal with some things maybe another time. But how committed are we, even to the local congregation? Do we have a vision? Or is it just kind of, well, whatever happens and whatever is convenient? Or do we have a vision, a purpose that we're committed to? Another quality is empathy. Able to understand and care about other people's emotions. And that dovetails with some of what we've already brought out. But do you know this was the heart of Christ? Christ had a compassionate heart. So when you see men that are abrasive and they're not thoughtful and they're selfish and yet they're leaders, do you realize that really is not true good leadership? That's not good true leadership. It's not the Bible leadership. The Scripture teaches us to empathize, to be a compassionate people, to be understanding of other people's failures, of other people's needs, and yes, of other people's differences. That as leaders, that we can empathize and have understanding and care about the well-being of others. That is the reason the Scripture says in 1 Peter 3, husbands, dwell with your wives according to what? According to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now we can say, well, how is the wife the weaker vessel? And some men would say, yep, she's not as strong as I am. Do you know there are some women that are stronger than their husbands? Physically, right? You say, well, intellectual superiority. There are a lot of wives that are more intellectual than their husbands. And so that's not what he's talking about. He told the husbands to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor to her, giving reverence to her. Why? Because she's the weaker vessel. What is he talking about? He's talking about God's order. God placed the husband in a place of leadership. And so as a wife honors that leadership, the husband is not to abuse his place as a leader. He is to show honor to her because she is in a secondary place in the order of God's design of leadership in the home. We understand that? It doesn't mean she's inferior, but it means the position
That God, the role that God gave her was to be there, to be a support and a help and submit to her husband in all things. But a husband then that's providing spiritual leadership is never going to abuse that authority. He's going to dwell with her according to knowledge and understanding and consideration and be thoughtful of the place that she is in. And then the last one would be respect. Treat everyone with dignity. Value other people's perspective. A man that is not willing to listen to a child, to his wife, to another woman, or to another man, and does not have respect, it will greatly hinder his capacity and ability to lead in a godly manner. So respect. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So in conclusion this morning, God is looking for men to stand in the gap. Not perfect men, but willing men. Willing men that will step up and foster these leadership characteristics in our personal lives, that we can be the man, the father, and the husband, and leaders in the church that God wants us to be. And we can only lead well as we first learn to follow God ourselves. Lord, bless all of you, to all of the fathers today. I wish that and trust that God will bless all of you. You are called to lead, and let's do it well as we are led by God. Amen.